and welcome to How to Learn a Language, the podcast from Lindsay Does Languages, all about how to learn a language. It's kind of in the name. Very excited you're here. If this is your first time listening, there's a couple of things I recommend right away before we get started. Number one is to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening, and that way you won't miss an episode. Number two is to rate or review the show wherever you're listening. That way more people can find us. And number three, join our email list. And that way you'll be fully updated, not only on new podcast episodes, but also blogs, videos, and more insights all about how to learn a language. Visit lindsaydoeslanguages.com/podcast to sign up now. This time, we're going to be talking about something that is kind of important. It's kind of like two things in one, but really go together very, very solidly. Like bread and butter, or Tom and Jerry, or I can't think of any more duos, but we're going to get into it. And that thing we're going to talk about is how to manage your daily language learning habits when you're learning multiple languages. Now, this is something that comes up all the time. So I often get asked, oh, should I learn one language to level X before I move on and learn another language? Or should I have one day that is, or 1 week, the 1 month that is focused on one language and then move on and focus on another? Or can I do multiple languages all at once? Is that okay? Am I gonna like lose my mind? Is it gonna work? And there's lots and lots of reasons for this, right? So we're gonna dig in. We're gonna start with a couple of truths that really we need to know that are quite foundational to all of this, to learning multiple languages. And then we're going to go into some solid advice that really is a case of interpretation so much. And you're really going to begin to pick this up by listening just to a few episodes of this show. So much of language learning is trial and error, playing, experimenting, and figuring out what is your best way to learn a language. And that has to be part of the fun. You have to enjoy that process, right? You can't just be looking to someone to tell you exactly what to do, because that isn't going to work for you, right? You've got to figure that out for yourself. And that's the work that I do, is helping you actually make that figuring out for yourself bit fun and enjoyable. So that's a bit of what we're going to do today as well. And maybe, you know, at the start of all of this, you might be thinking, learning multiple languages is too hard at once, it's too confusing, or it's too time consuming, right? But the truth is that anyone can do this. And the key is having, well, one of the keys is having the right daily habits to keep you motivated and to keep you productive. So this is my best advice on how to manage daily habits for multiple languages. There are so many questions and options when it comes to forming daily habits that often it stops us in our tracks, and we kind of wait at the start line thinking that we have to be perfect. We have to have this flawless plan before we begin our new language learning habits, our new routine, our new way forward. That isn't going to work, right? The most important thing is to just get started, because the best way, like I said, the best way to learn about all of this is through this process of experimentation and just figuring out what works. And the way to do that is to just jump right in, both feet, really, really go for it. So truth number one, the first thing we really need to know, there's no one way, right? There's no one habit setup that I can share with you here that will work for every language learner. Everyone has different learning styles, different needs, different situations that you're in at any given time. So it's really important not to fall into the trap of thinking that there is a perfect routine out there waiting for you if only you could find it, right? The truth is just far simpler. Every learner has their own unique combination of skills, strengths, weaknesses, preferences, which means that everyone will have their own ideal solution when it comes to forming good habits. And if there's one thing that I really want you to take away from this, and from everything that, you know, that I do in general for Lindsay Does Languages, it's that it doesn't happen overnight, right? Building solid language habits takes time. Sometimes it's weeks or months even before they become, you know, part of your daily routine. But once they're there and once they've been adapted enough over time to kind of be flexible and to fit with your life, it allows us as learners greater flexibility around how we spend our limited study time each day, because those routines that we have allow us more leeway with less pressure than ever before, right? So there's really no one way. Truth number two, this one, you'll probably hear me say more than once on this, on how to learn a language. It is possible to be good at several languages. You may have heard that it's impossible or too difficult for adults to learn another language, right? You're too old, you're too busy, or you're just, and this is the real one, not a language person. Dun, dun, dun. Because you didn't unlock the gift as a child, right? This isn't true. So let's unpack this, because there's a lot of research into this whole children-adult stuff. So children have been found to do some things better than adults when it comes to language learning. Of course they have, because equally, adults have been found to do some things better too. We'll get to that in a minute. But when it comes to children, there's two big things that come out in a lot of the research. And mainly, it's number one, pronunciation. And number two, openness to trying, right? A lack of inhibition. And really, you can kind of see that. You can kind of see how both of these things would work together. Pronunciation, kids are going to be better at that because in part, they're still, you know, especially really, really young children, still learning to speak for themselves, still kind of stretching and flexing those mouth and speaking muscles and everything. And so, of course, this is something that's going to happen, right? Openness to trying and lack of inhibition, that also kind of plays into that pronunciation thing, because as we just grow up in general, we gain inhibition, right? We gain this awareness of people around us. And with that comes this closedness, I suppose we could call it, to trying and to thinking, if I try that, it's not going to sound right, or I'm going to fail, or I'm going to look stupid. We gain that as we grow up. Children have that less. So that helps not only with pronunciation, but also just in general with trying, with speaking, with giving stuff a go. Right? Us as adults, when we know this, when we know that these are the two things that, you know, primarily children do this better, we can think, we have, right? This is what isn't discussed when we praise how wonderfully children can learn languages. It's the advantages that us as adults have. And the big one is age, because age equals wisdom. So we know, okay, I'm now aware that children are often better when it comes to language learning with pronunciation and with that lack of inhibition, right? But with your age or experience and any encounter you've had with any language or learn anything, all of that stuff has the potential to help you out when it comes to learning another language. And when it comes to intentionally improving your pronunciation or intentionally lowering those kind of inhibitions that you've got built up around you, right? Kids don't have that advantage. So there is something huge that we have as adults with age that is so powerful, that is going to help us not even at this point to learn multiple languages, but to just learn one, right? And sure, right, there's an age where the power, shall we say, of our brain and memory begins to decline, because we have human bodies, not robot bodies. This is completely normal. It's probably going to happen to most, if not all of us. But we have time between now and then, right? However old you are when you're listening to this, hopefully we have some time between now and between that point of deterioration. So that's really one huge reason why now is the best time to learn a language, right? Because we're only going to be getting closer to that point where our brain, our memory is going to begin to decline. So let's do it now. Or maybe as well, another thing here is that perhaps you've been told you should avoid learning multiple languages at once, at the same time, because it will confuse you and it will set you back in one or more of the languages, right? But there's no real rule of you have to get to B2 before starting your next language. You have to pass this exam before you even think about another. You're in charge, right? When you're learning a language independently, You are in charge of what it looks like. So you're in charge of when and how to bring in multiple languages. Whether you learn 1, 2, or 17 languages, you can think of it, you know, kind of differently to help with this. You know, you're not learning. This is a different perspective on this. And I used to think, right, when I was often asked, kind of in the beginning of doing Lintada's languages, and people would say, oh, how do you learn multiple languages? What's it like? And it honestly, this is how it felt. It felt like there was kind of boxes in my brain of like French box, Spanish box, English box, and they could be opened, you know, when I needed one, and then closed. But I've really changed my perspective on this since I've been kind of learning a lot more about second language acquisition and all of that stuff. And really, if we're learning, you know, let's say French, Arabic, and Gar, right? We're not learning French, Arabic, and Gar as completely separate and unique entities. What we're doing instead is increasing our entire linguistic repertoire. What is your linguistic repertoire? It's all of your language knowledge that naturally, just as part of existing, forms connections. So it's kind of like one big, let's think of it like, I was saying they were boxes, right, for me in the past. If we think of it as like a wardrobe, even like a walk-in wardrobe, and we've got like a box of hats and a box of shoes and a box of belts, I don't know, and stuff hung up on one side and other stuff hung up on another, it's a nice big wardrobe, right? The more languages you learn, the bigger your walk-in wardrobe of linguistic repertoire gets. And all of this stuff can kind of, you know, sometimes you might be reaching for your skirt section, which is your French section, and oops, you knock down the box of hats, which is your Arabic representation, and a hat falls on your head. An Arabic word comes out of your mouth, right? I love me a good metaphor. You'll also learn that from listening to this podcast. So with your linguistic repertoire then, what is this? It's all of your language knowledge that naturally forms connections, because your brain isn't distinguishing French from Arabic always in the same way that we've tried to organize and understand languages on paper, right? A language family really means not much to your linguistic repertoire. There's just you and your one language family that you're forming. And sure, they're going to be you know, more connections between related languages. So French and Spanish in my brain probably have more little lines running between them than, let's say, French and, I don't know, Korean, right? But I'm still finding my own lines that run through. And so when we accept this, when we accept that actually we're building something pretty cool, we're building our own unique linguistic repertoire in our brains, that helps with one huge thing. And that huge thing is that we then know why we sometimes mix languages. We understand why this happens, which can honestly help calm us down, right? It is not a sign of weakness or being bad at languages if we accidentally mix languages, or we can remember the word in the language that we don't want in that moment. It's actually a sign of being pretty cool, because you're becoming multilingual, or you are already, right? So two key things that we need to know before we talk about this. Number one, there's no one way to do this in terms of habits, in terms of multiple languages. And number two, it is possible to be good at several languages. Okay, now we've got that out of the way. I told you, big important stuff. Now we're going to talk about how to manage those daily habits for multiple languages. So the first thing is to create a daily language habit tracker. And this doesn't have to be something that you keep forever. It could be something that's kind of scrappy. You try out for a week or a month or something, and just see what it looks like and compare that to what you want it to look like. So with all of this, with all of language learning, it's never about completely upending your life and changing everything to suddenly fit in 17 different languages every day. It's about thinking, okay, what time do I realistically have that I could utilize better in my day, right? So by tracking what you're doing now, we can then be thinking about how we can adjust later. Does that make sense? So you can do this, like I say, you can just use a simple sheet of paper, or you can make a habit tracker. And I'll show you as well. I've got a version of this in the Solo Language Learner Planner. I'll link to that in the description too. But whatever you do, however you do this, it's important to make sure that your trackers are quick and easy to use. You really don't want them taking too much time out of that kind of real learning time, because otherwise it just becomes this other habit to maintain, right? We're trying to manage habits and we're like adding in a habit. We don't want it to be something huge. We want it to be as quick and as simple as easy as possible. And I've just added as well my digital language tracker to the Solo Language Learner Planner, which works on Notion. So if you enjoy having something that you can just quickly do, if you use Notion already as well, even better, you can get that now with the Solo Language Learner Planner too. So yeah, it's pretty cool. But why do this, right? Like I say, we're not looking to add another habit. We're looking to sort of monitor and see where we're going with this. Well, just taking a couple of minutes to track what you're doing really, really helps by giving you something to check back on, kind of tally up how much time you're spending on your learning. And it's really a starting point to figuring out what we're doing already, what can stay, what can change, how we're going to adjust it, and all of that stuff. So that's the first thing. Secondly, make your habits atomic. And you're like, atomic? What does that mean? It's a book. You may have heard of it. I highly recommend this book, Atomic Habits by James Clear. So, so helpful for forming any habit, but especially if you are reading this and you're thinking about language learning, you know, you'll be able to apply just everything from this book to your language habits. And there's a real core to it I'll share with you now. So his kind of four laws of habit formation, this is going to help you no end. He suggests that a habit needs a cue, a craving, a response, and a reward. So to help that process, you need to make your habits obvious. That's the cue. Attractive, the craving, easy, the response, and satisfying, that's the reward, right? So to make your habits atomic, all we need to do, think about making them obvious, attractive, easy, and satisfying, right? Maybe you're like, okay, what does that look like? I don't get it. What does it look like? Let's go through an example for wanting to develop a new morning habit of writing a journal entry in the language you're learning. Okay, so this is our example habit. If we want to make it obvious, well, we need that cue. What is our cue to do this in the morning? We're going to be much more likely to write first thing in the morning if your journal and if your pen are kept beside your bed, right? If they are tucked away on a bookshelf, in another room, on another floor of your house, then are you really going to do it every morning? Probably not, right? So keep it as a cue, as a reminder, and make it really, really obvious that that is what's going to happen. Making it attractive, well, what's going to make you want to do this habit, right? And this one, I feel, can really be sort of triggered by different things for different people. So for example, perhaps telling yourself that you don't get out of bed until you finish writing. Maybe for you, that's going to make your habit of writing attractive because you want to get out of bed. Or if you're the opposite and you like those extra few minutes in the morning, in bed, tucked up, then what you need is to reframe this as a chance to get a few extra minutes in bed when you're writing, you see? So we're just making it attractive in a way that's really going to suit you. Making it easy. So in our example, this is going to likely be affected by what counts as a journal entry. So if you are thinking, yeah, I'm going to write a whole page fully in the language I'm learning, great, if that's not a massive challenge and you're going to have to look up every word. Because if so, then your habit won't be easy and you'll therefore be less likely to stick to it. So you can build this up from as honestly as little as you want, from one word, right? You can build this up from waking up in the morning, you open up your journal that's by the side of your bed, you write one word in the language, the first word that comes to mind. If it's bonjour for 5 days in a row, great, as long as you're learning French. Not Japanese, right? But you get my point, right? You're still building the habit. It's easy to form because all you're doing is writing one word. And then when that feels like it's quite well established, and it's almost too easy, then we want to make it easy enough, but just a little bit more. So then we're going to maybe go for like one sentence, then a two-line dialogue, et cetera, et cetera. So as things gradually get easier, you can adjust that habit enough to keep it easy, but still useful. You see where I'm going with this? And then finally, in terms of making it satisfying, I often find that this comes when the other factors are in place. So for example, if a habit was obvious, attractive, and easy enough to happen, then for me, it feels satisfying when it does happen. Do you know what I mean? But again, it's all personal. We're all thinking about, how is this going to work for me? If you want a bigger or a more tangible reward, then go ahead. So maybe it's a weekly or a monthly treat of some kind for sticking with things. If you get a full 7 days in a row and you are motivated by that streak and that feels satisfying and you need that reward at the end, go for it. Figure out what's going to work for you. Okay, so we've got our habits kind of ticking over, they're atomic. We've read the book, we're all good. Next, you're going to be figuring out your activity priorities and your language focuses. So, with multiple languages, it's very easy for us to end up either in a few different situations, right? So it could be that you're thinking, okay, I want to learn, let's keep it at two for now. I want to learn two languages. They're brand new to me. They're not in the same language family. And I've got similar resources. So, and this actually happened to me when I was doing my first year of my undergraduate degree. It was the French and Spanish that they had available for that first level, I'd already done previously. So I was like, do I want to just repeat? That's going to be kind of boring. Oh, hang on a minute. They've got Italian courses here. They've got a brand new Chinese course. I'm going to do that instead, right? So I was starting both languages from scratch, but Italian was much easier for me than Chinese because it was connected to French and Spanish. It was a lot of similar kind of structure, et cetera, et cetera, right? And I didn't take full advantage of that opportunity for Mandarin, for Chinese, because I was just thinking, they're the same, they're from scratch. I've got the books in front of me. I've got the exams and assessments at the same times, you know? And I was like, how old? 19, 20. I didn't really know what I was doing. But now if I was to approach that, I would weight that slightly differently, not just in terms of language focus, but in terms of activity too. So if a certain language learning technique isn't working for you, honestly, don't be afraid to try something different. And equally, if you're feeling stuck in the weeds with one language, try another. And this is the joy of learning multiple languages, is that you can always feel productive, right? Even if you switch languages, it's like, yep, still doing something useful with my time. I'm not scrolling social media. I'm not just like sat on the sofa doing nothing. I'm learning this language instead of that one. Still a cool thing to do with your time, right? And I've never written this down until now, but you can see this image on the blog article accompanying this episode. But I've got this rough guide and I've always had it in my head. I wrote it down. It's really helpful to write down. But essentially, it's kind of like different tiers of activity and language, and it really, really helps, right? So I'll talk you through this so that you can kind of get an idea of how this works, because I know here we've got no visuals. But for now, I'll describe it to you. So across the top, I've got my languages listed, and I've got a couple of focus languages, a couple of play languages, using the words that work for me to describe them. So I've got focus one, which is a new language, focus two, a steady language, play language one, and play language two, right? So the new one for me is Arabic right now, the steady focus is Russian, the playing and maintaining is French, and the pure play number two, is Catalan Sign Language, right? Then down the left side of this kind of table of boxes, I've got the priorities. So I've got priority one, priority two, and a passive priority. So the way that this helps is that knowing and having written down, okay, my priority number one stuff with Arabic is the Teach Yourself Complete Arabic book that I've got, the Arabic in 60 Steps podcast, the language transfer lessons. Priority two is Duolingo and Arabic script hacking book, right? Whereas, oh, and then passive is music. So passive, what I mean by that is I'm not thinking music and I want to learn like we do in Music Maestro. Link in the description so you can see what I'm talking about. It's more about just like a way to enjoy the language. Then with Russian, whereas we said for Arabic, Duolingo, for example, was priority two, with Russian, Duolingo is priority one because it's something easy, because this is a sort of steadier language for me right now. It's something easy that I can maintain on a sort of more daily habit basis. So that is why it's in that first box. Yeah, so you see how it changes. And then as we go along with the play languages, I don't have anything in priority two boxes. I've just got one thing for each in the top and then one thing for each in the bottom as well. So you'll be able to see that on the blog. But really, it was very helpful to write this down for the first time. It's always been kind of in my head, but seeing it visualized, really useful. Highly, highly recommend. Because when you understand where your language focus is and your activity priorities lie, it really, really helps you to manage your daily habits when learning multiple languages, because you know what to prioritize, right? So when do you prioritize these things? This is where it begins to very much depend on you. So you could study in language immersion blocks, or don't. Language immersion blocks, then, this is a type of study technique that consists of focusing on one language for several days at a time. It could be one day, could be a week, could be a couple of weeks, whatever. For example, if you're learning Mandarin and Korean, you might say that you're going to study in a Mandarin-only mode for 3 days, then switch to Korean-only mode for 3 days, and I guess take Sunday off. The idea is to immerse yourself in the target language so that your brain can focus on learning it without any distractions from other languages. And for some people, this works really, really well. If you want to go all in as well and make all of your consumption, so music, TV, film, reading, everything, completely in that focus language too, then you've basically created full-on immersion wherever you are in the world. Amazing, right? For others, however, this can feel restricting, right? And they might prefer to keep things ticking over in multiple languages in one day, because sometimes that almost anxiety, if we like, of feeling like you're leaving one language behind can weigh a little bit heavy. So try it. If it feels good, great. If it doesn't feel good, don't worry, because there's still plenty of things that you can do to make your daily habits work for multiple languages, right? The other one of those other things that you can do, and again, this is an or don't option, is to schedule specific times to study. Or don't, right? See how this is very much you that gets to decide all of this. Schedule specific times to study then. So this is quite important if it comes to making things feel manageable, especially once we've got our language focuses and our activity priorities drawn up. With a bit of a schedule in place, you'll know when to start studying and when to stop, which makes it easier to keep up with your goals every day, right? And if that last piece of advice of the immersion blocks isn't for you, this one might be more up your street. If you're serious about learning multiple languages, try scheduling 2, maybe even 3 blocks of time each day dedicated specifically to each language. They don't have to be even. It doesn't have to be, an hour in the morning for language 1, an hour in the afternoon for language 2, and another hour for language 3. It could just be that you've got 30 minutes in the morning, you've got about 40, 45 minutes in the evening, but in the sort of afternoon, lunchtime-ish, in the day, during the day, you've got little pockets of maybe 5 minutes at a time. So that's when you then begin to think, okay, well, for me, it would be Arabic being the new language would be the focus, the thing that I wanted to get done more than any others. That's priority number one. That's going to go in the morning block because I'm more awake then. I know that I do my best language learning then. That's what the morning is. The afternoon, kind of during the day for me, would be Russian pockets on apps and stuff, just little bits. And then in the evening, that's when it would be maybe French, maybe the Catalan thing where I'm kind of chilling out. I'm just playing, right? That's what works for me. If you're the other way around, if you're like evening, ding, brain's on fire, I'm working hard, I'm doing my best stuff, flip it around, right? But the benefits of this kind of time blocking is that you're kind of telling your brain what to expect. So it helps to make your habits easy. It's like, hey brain, morning time, ready for some Korean, yes, right? However, because there's always a however, right? However, some research has found that our expectations of same place, same time, same resource studying isn't quite as effective as we think it is, right? It's almost as if when something is different about that, it keeps us on our toes. So if the time thing really works for you when it comes to maintaining daily habits, when learning multiple languages, having specific times of day works, think about mixing up something else about that time, right? So what is it that you're going to do? What's the activity that you're going to do during that time? Where are you going to do it? What are you going to listen to? What are you going to be drinking? Having something that's an anchor, but also having something that is unique and different can help to just, you know, keep you active rather than just, ooh, and we're in and we've finished the chapter, done, you know? Alternatively, of course, if you prefer not having such a rigid structure in place every day, or if it feels kind of like a bit intense, a bit too much at first, just set aside one chunk of time each day, just call it language time. And whatever you feel like doing during that time, that's what you do, right? And your priorities here, again, come into play because you're thinking, well, do I want to do my priority one for that focus language number one right now? Not really feeling it. I just want to hang out. I just want to play. You can go to the other end of that spectrum, of the other end of that table, and be doing something, right? Just having your toes in the language learning water, right? But with something else. So there's always ways to make it an enjoyable process and to, you know, enjoy language learning, because that's what it is about really at the end of it all. And that is it for this episode of How to Learn a Language, brought to you by Lindsay Does Languages. Thank you for listening. As I mentioned at the beginning, a couple of things that I recommend before I say goodbye. Number one, subscribe to this show wherever you're listening. That way you miss zero episodes. Number two, rate or review the show wherever you're listening. That way more people can find us. And number three, join our email list. And that way you'll be fully updated, not only on new podcast episodes, but also blogs and videos and more, all about how to learn a language. And you can visit lindsaydoeslanguages.com/podcast to sign up. Any links, anything I've mentioned in this episode will be in the description box. So have a little click around and I'll be back very soon. Thanks. Bye.